about to do, so if we can't even get a good morning, then we're going to struggle with the rest of us. Let's try again. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you. All right, so here's how we'll try this today. I'll do it with you, then you're going to do it on your own. All right, we're going to keep practicing. If you guys know me personality-wise, like I have no problem. Just keep going and keep going. Extra, and driving something into the ground. If it's painful for you, I enjoy it. So here's how we're going to say this. I'll do it with you the first time. We are Relentless Church. We are a gospel-centered, forever-focused, multi-ethnic movement. All right, so now you do it better without me. All right, so you got it? The first centered is just a word. Focus is focus. And then the movement has got the movement with it. So it's all you. You ready? Relentless Church, we are a gospel. Forever. Multi-ethnic. All right. We got till September 15th to perfect that. All right, so September 15th, we'll be together as a church with our 9 a.m. folks at 10:30 to celebrate our 10th birthday. And that's going to be an amazing day. I was going to say that's going to be the highlight of the day, but I hope not. It's who we are. So we're talking about that. It's a great morning for some of you that are new with us to be here with us. Because the series is called, What Are We Doing? And we unpack what the gospel is and what a Christian is. And we're talking about church today. What are we doing? We cannot claim to be a movement, if we're just sitting still. That means we're going somewhere. So we've tried to define words in this series because people struggle with words and what they mean. So what does church mean? Right? In our culture, right or wrong, in our culture, church means coming to a building and sitting. I went to church. All right? If you've ever said that, and I bet most of us have, you're a liar. You cannot scripturally go to church. You can't. Right? No, I went to church. I went to church today. No, you didn't. You can't go to church. Church is not a location. It is not a building. And that's what our culture defines it as. So we're going to look at how God talks about it. But we just got to quit lying to people and say, hey, I went to church. No, you didn't. Later on today, whatever you're doing on your Sunday afternoon, Sunday night, what'd you do today? I went to church. Don't say that, because you didn't. Not one of you went to church today. You cannot go to church. You don't understand what the word means, and most of us don't culturally. And I try hard not to say it, but I do. I do, you know, my wife will ask me, you know, hey, where are you? And every once in a while I'll say, I'm at church. It's a lie. I'm not. I'm at a construction company. That's what this is, C-H-E. Right? And we have a staff meeting. We do it in different places, and the staff, like, we're a staff meeting. I try hard not to say it's at church. I try to say it's at the church building, or it's at 1540, which is the address. I just work hard not to lie and treat this building as the church, because it's just not. Now, you're like, well, that's just words. Well, words matter, and we'll look at why today, because we got to understand what we are. What are we doing? If we're a church, what does that mean? It means we all come and do this awesome thing together. What awesome thing? Sit. Woohoo! I feel like I was put on the earth just to come sit on Sunday mornings. It's way better than that. So we're glad you're here. Don't hear anything else. So I'm not supposed to be here. No, we'll get to that. But let's just look at the word church. Ekklesia is the Greek word. We translate that Greek word into the English word church. And it literally means the called out ones. It is the gathering or assembly of the called out ones. So it is a group of people, not a location, but a group of people. So you are technically the church. And there's so much to this that we're going to unpack over the next couple weeks. So if you are new to our church, like 2024 new, it's a really important couple weeks. We ask you to be here for both pieces of it this week and next. But today I just want to unpack some scripture together. Right, so preaching, and we'll talk about preaching because that's a big part of our worship service. Preaching is supposed to be the unpacking of scripture and applying of scripture to your everyday life. So scripture was written 2,000 years ago. We're in 24. So myself and other staff members that preach, our job is to bring alive and to take what God gave us through His Spirit and help you realize what that means for your, not for your Sunday as much as for your Monday. So we're just going to dive into some scripture today. So some of you are nice to be like, man, I love your preaching. All right, thank you. If you, that's what you say to my face. And some of you say something, you love the stories. And I get that from Jesus, the greatest storyteller ever told. He just didn't get up and talk randomly. He told stories because they bring people in. But we got to make sure we're never a church that has to have the funny story or the tear-jerking story, right? We're built on Jesus. He's the center of it all, and his word is enough, right? There was seasons in church where church was, today we're going to read from this section of Scripture. Some of you might have grown up in that. Preaching is more than that. It's bringing it alive, but you don't have to have that. You don't have to have my stories. If we build your faith on my stories, I fear for you on multiple levels, right? We're built on Jesus. So what we'll get later in this service, we actually believe that God in the universe can take a text that he gave to the Holy Spirit 2,000 years ago, and he can do something in your life that's unexplainable. So listen to it that way. So we're going to start in Ephesians 1. This beautiful letter written to a church in Ephesus. Verse 15 says, Ephesians 1, for this reason, and that's all we got, right? And you know we can't look at the rest of the verse because for what reason, right? Scripture, we have verses, which is very dangerous because we think those beginnings and ends were man-made, not by God. So we're not going to look at a verse that says for this reason unless we got to go back and see what in the world he's talking about because we want to understand what we're reading. So let's go back two verses. Talking to Christians, you also were included, verse 13. You were included in Christ when? When you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. What's the gospel? 2 weeks ago, that was our message. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. And we can just sit in that all morning, just those two verses. We haven't even gotten to the furthest reason. But you understand, I think we sometimes culture and words, I think we still understand the word deposit, right? You understand what that is. And it says you're marked that it's the seal, not like a, not that kind of seal. It was a really bad seal. Man, we've got to work on our seal impersonation, right? It's a seal more like today, it'd be more like a tattoo, like a mark, like a branding. We're marked with the Holy Spirit, who's a deposit guaranteeing what is to come, right? This is really important because I'll talk to, you know, we have conversations in here and out in the world, and I'm just like, hey, you're a Christian. Tell me about living by the Spirit. And so many times it's like, I don't really know what you mean by that. It's like, that's everything. That's our whole life is living, being led by the Spirit, not just on Sunday, but on Monday morning, on Friday night, being led by the Spirit of Jesus. And some of you were introduced to a culture of church of blind faith. We don't believe in blind faith. Blind faith is, this doesn't make any sense. I'm saying it with a microphone. You believe it. My job to say it. Your job is to believe it. Don't ask questions. That's blind, stupid faith. Right? That's not what God said. He says, I'm going to do so much. I already did so much. And you have an inheritance coming. But he doesn't say, take my word for it. If I say, hey, I got an inheritance for you. I know I should give it to my kids, but I like you more and I don't trust them. So you're going to get my inheritance. You're not going to take my word for that. I'm going to give you a deposit to back up. Why do I give you a deposit? So you know I'm good for it. There's an inheritance coming. Forever focused, there's an inheritance coming that's better than we can dream or imagine. What are we supposed to do? Just faith? No. God says it's not faith. It's better than that. I'm going to give you a reason for faith. I'm going to give you a deposit guaranteed so you don't have to sit around in 2024 thinking, man, this God that we're singing to and talking to this invisible Jesus, I hope it's true, but sometimes it feels like it's just man-made stuff to make us feel better about life. I hope we get to the end and I don't realize that we were all suckers, right? That's not where he wants us to stay. He wants us to know. Well, how do we know? He gives us a deposit. What is it? It is the Holy Spirit living in us. We've been marked and sealed with the Holy Spirit, so we know he's good for it. If you're not living by the Spirit, then you're living on blind faith. You're just sitting around hoping things work out. If you're living by the Spirit, he will give you something every week, if not every day, sometimes every hour, to let you know, oh, I'm real. I'm here. I'm present. I'm with you. And it'll be a deposit. And you get more excited about the inheritance if you have a deposit. If you don't have a deposit, then you're just like, inheritance. Yeah, we'll see. I'll believe it when I see it. Right? There's not a lot of hope and joy, and I'll believe it when I see it. So, now, we can, for this reason, like we've been given a deposit, we know it's coming. Ever since, Paul says, ever since I heard about your faith, this church in Ephesus, in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks to you, remembering you in my prayers. So people's living this faith out by the Holy Spirit moves people. Paul's like, I'm just so thankful because you guys are not believing something. You're not, church is not sitting somewhere or going somewhere. You're living this out by the Holy Spirit in you, and it's really encouraging to me, and it helps me just pray for you guys constantly. He wrote that to a church. What would he write to us? Relentless Church. Verse 17, Paul says, here's what I'm praying. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. Right, I keep asking. Right, some people struggle with the Trinity, the idea of God in one, three beings, Father, Son, Spirit. There's a lot of beautiful verses like this that mention God the Father, the Lord Jesus, and the Spirit all in one verse. So people say, so are you a Trinitarian? Trinity? Are you a Trinitarian? No. Listen to last week. We're not any of the Arian. We're not anything Arian. Come on, we're a multi-ethnic church. We don't like Arian anything. Right? But we're not at anything that ends in Arian. We're not Protestant, Catholic. We're just Christian. And yes, we believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. But don't stop with your labels. Why? Like people meet our church like, hey, are you guys this? No, the answer is no. We're not any of your, and it drives people nuts. We need you to fit in our bucket. We're not. And we're proud of it. All right? We're just trying to follow Jesus and be the church that he's called us to be. But we believe in his word, and that's where we live from. And the whole reason that Paul's asking that God gives them the spirit of wisdom and revelation so they can understand what God's saying to them is for the reason that we can know him better, which comes back to this last week. All right, we had the last week we didn't have the white chairs. We had the chairs you're sitting in. Some people call them pink. You're incorrect. They're mauve. Right? The chairs you're sitting in are clearly mauve. Right? But it doesn't matter what kind of chairs. The whole point, you can go watch that message online, was a closeness that God invites us to sit with him. And that's, and you're like, man, this is all through. Yeah, it's the same thing. The gospel's all through. And the church, and what Paul wanted for the church in Ephesus is what God wants for you, that you may know him better in relationship, not religion. Right? That you need the Spirit to help you. Some of you, you read the word, you're like, I don't know what I'm doing. Right? You need to ask the Spirit to guide you in wisdom, and he will reveal himself through his word. He's been doing it for 2,000 years. He's really good at it. Right? And that doesn't mean you sit down and open the word on Sunday afternoon today and God just blows your mind. Well, it didn't work. It's not a magic trick. It takes practice, patience, and endurance. He wants to know. He wants you to know him better. Everything is built around this relationship that he's drawing and asking you to. And here's what's really inspiring, church. Your prayers matter. We're a praying church. It changed us a couple years ago. We'll never be the same. How Paul prayed for the church of Ephesus should tell us a lot how we should be praying. That you can pray for somebody sitting beside you or somebody you talk to in the lobby, and you can pray for them, and your prayer for them affects God's revelation to them. Right? You want to see people, you know, some people really go for it in worship in this church, which we'll talk a little bit about that more next week. What I think that usually means is the relationship is really strong and tight. If God reveals himself to you in some beautiful way this week, it's going to affect how you sing these songs we sing next week. So Paul is praying this. We should be praying this for each other, right? Not just pastor praying for you, but we should be praying that God would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. You would get the wisdom of him, not of the earth, and he would reveal himself. That you could actually pray for somebody this week, and your prayer would cause God to reveal himself in a special way to somebody you care about and love. Makes me want to go pray. Here's what else he prayed. Verse 18. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. Got to know the hope. All right, so much hopelessness. The riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Sometimes you just... We call them verses. I'm trying to tell you not to go to church and don't call them verses. They are. But you understand, there's a dude, if you watch Ted Lasso, the dude that made up verses, if you Wikipedia him, he looked like Coach on Ted Lasso. But Stephanus was his name. And he decided 500 years ago, we've had the Bible for thousands, but 500 years ago, he decided we need verses to find stuff. It's not from God, it's from man. So we call them verses. I would prefer us call it what God said to us. It's a letter. We identify it by a verse. All right, so in this verse, he's praying that our eyes of our heart would know this hope. And And it says, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. Who's that? That's us. Oh, I don't like you calling me holy. I'm a messed up person. I don't like to be referred to as holy. Right? Like who among us would introduce you? I'm David. I'm holy. Nice to meet you. That's weird. But it's true. I'm holy. Right? We're going to keep going back to the gospel. All right? You don't know what these represent, then go watch the August 4th message, and you can see the whole thing. This is really, really important. It's not what you're going to be someday. It's what you are if you've received the gospel and you have a relationship with Jesus. And this is really important. It gets more important every time we talk about it. Why? Because if you struggle to see yourself as a holy person, then you're going to say things like this. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. You heard that 1,000 times? Can you show me that verse? I'm a sinner saved by grace? No, you can't show me that verse because it doesn't exist. Right? I am not a sinner saved by grace. Wait a second, Pastor, you don't sin? Well, I do. You don't know me if you think that. So if you sin, then that would mean you're a sinner. No? What I do does not define me. My identity is not in my sin. I do sin. I have sinned. I will sin. But I'm not a sinner by identity. I have been saved by grace. But according to Scripture, all these letters that Paul wrote to these churches, never once he says, to the sinners in Ephesus, to the sinners in Corinth. He always says, to the saints. We're not sinners, we're saints. And in the day the church starts looking in the mirror and seeing what God sees is the day we start living out of the power that God has called his church to live out of. It's really important. He says we're holy people. Well, I don't feel holy. Who cares? Right? Feelings. It's not about how you feel. It's what God says you are. If he says you're holy, you're holy. That's what the gospel did for you. And if you think holiness is something you're going to get one day, man, you're going to walk through this life distracted or discouraged, one or the other. You're like, that's just, yeah, one day I'll be clean and righteous and holy, and that'll be great. Well, then you're going to not live with much power, which is how he ended that verse. Now he's talking about this power that you can't compare to anything else. And then he goes on in the very next sentence to compare it. He says, that power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted. That's a fun word, exert. When he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. Wait, time out. The power that we have as the church is the same. What does he compare it to? This incomparable power. If you say you can't compare it to anything, then why would you then compare it? Well, he compared it to something. The power of God to say, Jesus, I know you're dead. Time to get up. I'm by my words, I'm going to call you out of the grave. The power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same. It's not akin to, it's not similar to, it's not a version of, or it is actually the exact same power that we live and flow through the church of Jesus today. Is that what we're known for? The local church? Oh, man, the first word that comes to mind when I think of the church, power. Man, I don't believe everything they believe, but there's some power in those people. It should be, but it's not. We could talk all morning or afternoon about why that might be, but instead of that, let's get excited about the truth of the gospel, that the same power that rose Jesus from the dead is now active specifically in the church and the people of Jesus. He finishes after that comma. And Jesus is in the right hand in the heavenly realms, comma, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. As you guys just sang, there's a name that is above every name. Every name that could be invoked is going to bow down to the name of Jesus, because Jesus was raised from the dead by God. And he continues, verse 22, and God placed all things under his feet. Whose feet? Jesus. And appointed him, Jesus, to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Well, we just got our definition of the church. God placed everything under the feet of Jesus, and he appointed him to be head over everything for the church. So people ask, hey, are you the head pastor? No, I'm not the head anything. Jesus is the head pastor. He's the chief shepherd. It's his church. So let's stop saying sinners saved by grace. Let's stop saying we go to church. And let's stop saying, hey, I really like your church. It ain't my church. Right? If it is, you're in trouble and I'm in trouble more. Like, we're both in trouble if this is my church. This is Jesus' church. He's the head of everything in his church. church. Now, I think everybody says that, but we got to make sure that's true. We'll get to the details of that next week. So first of all, he's head of everything for the church, comma, which here's our definition. What are we? We are his body. And the fullness of everything Jesus is flows through us, the body of Christ. So people use this language. They say, well, Jesus lived on earth 33 years, and then he left. He did? Well, he died, and then he lived, and then he left. His physical body left, but he didn't leave. Jesus is still here. Raleigh, North Carolina, Wake County, all the, I keep saying Wake County, I'm offending you guys that live way out there in Johnston and what's that other county? Harnett, right? We love you, wherever. Come on. So the greater Raleigh area, Jesus lives here. Well, spiritually, no. Physically, Jesus is here. His body is here. His mouth, his hands, his feet. How? Where? The church is the body of Christ. He reaches. It is so beautiful how Jesus set this up. It's brilliant. It's lasted and gained ground for thousands of years because of his brilliant plan that we would be the extension of Jesus. Not to come and sit in a room, but to go out. Tomorrow night's the women's huddles. I love that visual of huddles. If you understand football, nobody cares about the huddle. We want to see the play. Like they gather together to get a plan. God brings us here then to go out. Like Jesus is going to your work tomorrow. The body, the actual living, like, wouldn't it be cool, man? My workplace is so messed up. My coworkers, oh my goodness. If Jesus would just show up one day and tell them what's up, that would be so awesome. He's going. He's going tomorrow. In you. You're the body. You are the physical representation. I know you're not God. You know what I'm saying? The Spirit of Jesus lives in you. And the Jesus, we got so much influence as a church. Jesus is going to Southeast Raleigh High School. Jesus is going to all kinds of plants and industries and businesses and neighborhoods and family. Like, he's going because we are the extension of Jesus. Jesus said once, you know, I'm going to send you something, disciples, that's going to be better than me being with you. Like, there's nothing. Like, you're God. Who could be better? It's not a who, it's a what. And it is a who. It is the Spirit of Jesus living in it, that now Jesus is in us, and Jesus is here in the greater Raleigh area, not just through this church, but through multiple churches, that we are the body of Christ. Isn't that way different than thinking church is something you attend? Instead, the church is the actual living, breathing body of Christ, that Jesus is on earth today. Oh, it would have been so cool to be alive when Jesus was performing miracles and doing stuff and seeing him do his thing. Oh, you get to live in that. Jesus is alive today. You get to witness him working through his church, which is his body. It is the fullness of everything about him. So we get to see ourselves that way. Be like, man, I wish Jesus would show up. He's here. He's in you. Right? And they're like, oh, the pressure. That makes you're not listening good if you're feeling pressure. Right? Jesus is going with you. He's going in you. The body of Christ. We are his body. We will be his hands, his feet, his message. How we treat people matters so much. How we treat people that we disagree with matters so much. We are the body of Christ. How we drive matters so much. Well, how did Jesus drive? Well, he didn't. Ever. Not once. There's no verse about Jesus driving. But if he did drive a car and got cut off, perhaps. Well, I can't do that because I just get. You're right, you can't. But the Spirit of Jesus in you. Funny, I've seen this. I've been preaching a long time. The room always changes when you bring up driving. Right? People that weren't smiling start to smile, and people that were smiling stop smiling. I don't know what that is, but it's everything. So we're the body of Christ. We Relentless Church, and we other, it's bigger than us. And he's going to use his body. And I want to just give us three reminders. I think I've said this a bunch of times, but I want you to see it on the screen, because when you see it, it stays with you. One reminder, the church is a body, not a building. All right, if that's the B alliteration, if you want, I like the P a little better. I don't think it's on the screen. The church is a place, not a place, but a people. We're a people, we're a body, we're not a building. We're not a place. We're not a location. You can't just stop. You can't go to Relentless Church. You can't. So quit telling people, yeah, I go to Relentless Church. We'll talk about what we'd like you to say instead of that next week. We just want you to quit lying because you cannot. We are a people. So you say, we stopped having church during the pandemic. That's a lie, right? We can't have church, right? So that's. I think that's the second reminder. You can attend a worship service. You cannot attend a church. So we stopped having in-person worship services. We did not stop being the body of Christ. And as we get a little further away from it, I've been reminded lately, like, there's a lot of beautiful things to celebrate that we did to love people and to help some really struggling things. We were not perfect, but we were the body of Christ in an incredibly hard season in our church. You cannot attend a church. You can't attend a worship service. Let's talk about that for a second, because we don't get to, and it's awkward for me, because I'm up here most weeks, and part of what this is, because you hear all this, well, if you can't go to a church, then what are we doing? That's the title of the series. What are we doing? Right? It's really important to attend a worship service. It's part of being a part of the body of Christ. There is so much power in all of us hearing the same thing, singing the same thing. You know, the worship team, sometimes they back off. I love it when they back off and they put their mics down, and you can just hear everybody like singing the same thing, hearing the same stuff. We're a family. Right? So it's an alive thing. So that's why we keep updating you on some things we're praying for, because we're in this together. So there's a ton of value. What we're saying is there's a ton of value in us doing what we're doing right now in a worship service. But don't think that's the sum of the church. Like, the body of Christ does more than gather. It's very important that we gather. What we do each week, it's very important for you to hear the stories that we have other people share. In the worship moment, and it's very important to hear the stories out here. That's part of church, understand? When you're out here in the lobby before or after church, getting to know somebody new or getting to know somebody better, that's part of attending, that's worship. That's part of what we are as a family. How can we be a family if we don't know each other? That's where all the small groups and the huddles and the retreats and some of the other things that we do, that's all part of us becoming the family of God. We'll talk about that a little more next week, but there's a difference between church and a worship service. So at a worship service, you get singing, which is just one part of worship. There's power in us singing the same songs together, of lifting our voices together. Now, I know some of you are untold, unconvinced. We're a church for you, so we don't expect you to sing if you're not ready to sing, if you don't believe the words. That's okay. But for those of us who are in on Jesus, there's power in lifting these things together. There's power in us hearing the same stories, and there's power in us hearing from God together. That's where it gets tricky, because if I'm doing the preaching, and I'm telling you God's speaking to you through me, the more you know me, the harder that is to swallow, right? And I've just had to accept what Scripture teaches, that God, in the foolishness of preaching, is the biblical phrase. In the foolishness of preaching, God still today, and always will, as far as I can understand, will choose to speak to the hearts of men and women through preaching, not just through preaching, but through preaching that's based on the gospel and based on the word of God. He can speak to you specifically and personally. Last week, a guy came up to me after church, hadn't been here in a while, and based on the message, we were preaching this whole thing last week, and he's like, "You've been reading my text messages?" Right? The answer to that is no. Right? We don't have, that's just God knowing what's going on in your life and being able to supernaturally speak to you where you are through the word. Maybe there's part of that exerting his power. Maybe that living by the Spirit thing is totally foreign to you, and you're struggling in your faith, and that's the next step. We just trust that God can speak. Let me give you this example. We're so blessed. I'm so blessed. You're so blessed to not be built on me. Like, if you have to, like, I can only hear the gospel from you. You see how unhealthy that is? How toxic that is? Because it makes me, puts me in a place that God doesn't want me to put it. You can hear the gospel from other people, other staff members, right? Also puts you in a bad place where you're dependent on me. As long as I'm healthy, you're good. But if I get off track, it's going to mess you up too, which is part of leadership. It's all part of it. So we're so blessed to have other staff members that can preach the gospel. Amen? Been around? So a couple weeks ago, Raph was preaching, and I wanted to come. My family is coming to this service, so I wanted to come to first service and help a brother out. He does this for me so often. So I was going to listen at the 9 o'clock and take some notes and help him, and then listen to him during the 11 o'clock. So I came to the 9 o'clock, had my phone out. You saw me. I was taking notes. I wasn't texting people or looking at stuff. I was just like, hey, maybe, say, you know. And it was a great message. There wasn't a lot. I met with them between services. It was like, man, really good. Maybe just a little bit of this here. Maybe just a little of this. Maybe a little less Patriots. Maybe more Panthers. God will bless that. Just a little thing. So I met with them between. Then my family came, and I sat with you in the 11 o'clock service. And I was like, man, that was so much better. Right, like I must be like the pastor whisperer. Like I really revolutionized his message. Like it was good, but it was incredible at the 11. Right, and the reality is, I went and looked. Like he changed 0.001. It was basically the exact same message. Now, the difference, the first service, I was listening to help critique it and make it better. The second service, I was listening for God. How you listen, how tired you are. Oh, that's even worse than talking about driving. We learned years ago, staff and leaders, worship team, our worship starts on Saturday night. The sacrifice we're willing to make, and I hate it. I'm sorry, kids. But they wanted to go do something with friends last night. And I was like, yeah, you can go, but you got to be home by 10. 10? Yeah, because I'm going to bed, and when you get home, the dogs bark, and my sleep's more important than your fun. Because your Saturday night sets the tone for your Sunday morning. You listen differently. It's not impossible. God can speak to you when you're tired. God can speak to you when you don't want to be spoken to. But you can help the situation by coming in here, believing that God of the universe knows your name, knows your situation. Just watch what he does when you listen with ears of God, would you speak to me? Right, I experienced it a few weeks ago in this room. It was the same message. I heard it completely different when I took off my, you know, Simon Cowell, American, let me judge. Like, that's just, it's hard for the Spirit to work when you're being judgmental. I wish you'd say this, or I wish they'd sing my favorite song. Right, you know how little God cares about your favorite song? He doesn't. It's about him. He's the center. We can't sing Jesus is the center of it all and then, I don't really like that song. It's not my vibe. Right? Your vibe is irrelevant. I like that song, but you know what I'm saying. Believe that God can speak to you and will speak to you through a lot of ways, through preaching, through the word of God, through worship. You ever been just coming in and it's crazy, parents checking your kids in, it's just so like coming in here and like, I don't even know if I can be here today. And then just we're singing the lyric of the song just hits you. Like, God's really creative in how he speaks, but it's really important for us as a church to attend worship services together, and God is speaking and carrying us along. Let me say another reminder, last one. Other gospel churches are our partners, not our competitors. All right, and that's a really important thing. So business minds in the room, I've always used Planet Fitness because I just love their model. Stock symbol PLNT, if you're interested. But they did something that's never been done. We're going to start a gym for people that don't go to the gym. People are like, that's stupid, right? And I am not currently a member of Planet Fitness, but for about 2 years, I donated money to Planet Fitness. Because it wasn't that I went, but if I wanted to, I had a membership, and that was worth the whatever dollars a month. It's like, because I do believe, some of you don't believe this, I do believe if you're sitting there thinking about working out, there's something to that. Like, your body knows you're thinking about it, and it's healthy to think about working out. Well, Planet Fitness is a little bit like Relentless Church in that they decided the people that go to the gym, we're not after them. We're trying to get people that don't go to the gym, so we're going to make rules like you can't wear the muscle shirts, you can't look. We don't want people seeing how buff you are because it'll intimidate them. We're gonna put instructions on the machines. We're going to be the anti-gym. Well, that's dumb. No one's going to go. Like, you know, a bunch of people are going, old and young, and why are they going? Because it's different. It's not intimidating. So, there's a gym in Fuquay called Bulls and Bears. If you're ever bored on a Sunday afternoon, just go park by Domino's and just watch those monsters go in and out. And my kid's like, Dad, you're staring. I'm like, I am. Look at that dude. Like, how did he even fit through the door? These are guys that would never be caught dead in a Planet Fitness, right? If I walked into Bulls and Bears, they would all, like, there'd be people just hitting the floor. You lost, son, right? It's just a different. Planet Fitness is never going to get that guy. They don't want that guy, right? So what does that mean for us? It means we're not trying to get whoever going. If you got a neighbor like, yeah, I go to church, like, first tell them that's a lie, that's impossible. But don't, like, well, you should come to our church. We're not trying to get church people to change churches. That's not what we're about. That's not what this is about. There was a study done 15 years ago that was really impactful on us planning this church. They did a study of every metropolitan area in the country, the 100 biggest, including Raleigh. And they found that about 20 to 25% of people are actually in a worship service each week. Now, when you do polls of Americans and ask them, do you go to church? Which everybody should say no, because that's impossible. But people lie about going to worship services. So there's a million plus people in Wake County. So at least when that survey was done, our best estimate is about, let's be positive, 250,000 are somewhere in a worship service this Sunday morning. So we can either try to be the best and brightest and the best looking singers and the best, you know, building and the most trampolines in the kids area and all the stuff. We can either do that and try to see if we can get the 25% of people that are attending worship services to choose us instead of them, or we can be Planet Fitness and say, no, we're going to try to be a church for the 750,000 people that don't have a relationship with the body of Christ. So that'll maybe explain, like, why do y'all, maybe that'll explain some things you've been wondering about. Now, there's some faults in that strategy that we didn't know, and we found it out in the early days. We were just a church for the untold and convinced. In fact, I used to say at the theater, if you're a church person, please find another church. Because if there's one thing God was building, and the gospel center is a beautiful thing, and the one thing that can mess up the momentum of God the quickest, church people. Right? What you don't want in Planet Fitness is the bulls and bear guy, right? So we were a church for untold and unconvinced, but then after a couple years, we got a lot of young Christians that are trying to figure out how to follow Jesus and live this life, and we got to help them. But the ratios are off. Like, we don't have anybody that's been walking with Jesus more than a year or two. We're very immature in that. And some of you in this room, God has sent you. You cannot find a story in this church of somebody that said, yeah, I came out of my church one Sunday, and there was David Jones, and he gave me this great talk in the parking lot of why I should leave my church and come to Relentless. It's never happened. God has called people, and we're going to be stuck in some immaturity, because when most of your church has been following Jesus for a small amount of time, there's some unhealthiness to that. So just since the pandemic, honestly, God, it's not, we haven't done any marketing campaign, billboard, we've done nothing different. God has begun to bring us people for all kinds of reasons that were part of other churches, and they were committed to a body of Christ, and God, their words, God has called them to be part of this multi-ethnic movement of God. And that's been such a blessing to see people that come in are ready to serve, ready to give, and ready to help lead other people. It's super encouraging. So we need both. So if you're a Christian in the room and you've been going to another church for a decade or more, and now you're here, like, hey, am I even supposed to be here? Yes. Yes, we need you, and we're thankful for you. But we do need you to understand that other gospel churches are our partners. Put that word gospel in, because you don't have to pass a test to be a church. You're not built on the gospel, we'd like for you to come here instead of there. But other gospel churches in the area, which there are many, are our partners. We don't compete with them. And I love what God's doing in building a story. So we connect weeks. So last week, Rhea was on the stage and just shared this beautiful story. I bet a lot of you don't know who's connected to who, but there's a tall drink of water back here singing. 6'11". Jonathan DeMay. He's married to Rhea, so that's the guy we were praying for last week when she just shared about the uncertainty of the appointment and the tumor they had found, and they had an appointment on Tuesday to find out what the deal was, growing or shrinking or whatever. So let me update you on that. So we had the appointment Tuesday. It wasn't what I was praying for. It wasn't what they were praying for. The tumor was larger than it was last time. It's still benign. Which is a prayer, but they've encouraged them and suggested that they have a surgery to remove that tumor. So that's not what I was praying. I don't think that's what you were praying. So why would I end this? Because we're a church. We're the body of Christ. So we continue to pray. We don't get discouraged, right? And we got to help each other as the body of Christ get out of the narrowness, right? That's a tough week. Right, that's not what we're praying for. And there's emotions and feelings that go with that. Okay, feelings are get us into trouble. So we'll talk specifically about this next week of what we do with stuff like that. I just think so many times God's saying to you, whatever your story is you'll see. I think He's saying to Jonathan and Rhea, you'll see. Everything happens for a reason. I don't like that phrase, but I'm here. Just keep praying. Right, we're believing that that surgery is coming, and that surgery is going to be successful, and you'll see. You'll see. Now you're like, well, but what about, there's some situations that you'll see doesn't work. Like what? I thought about Kelly Quinn this morning. Kelly Quinn was the first death we had in our church a couple years in, great woman of God, and she had cancer, mother, single mother. And if you guys were here, we were praying. We were praying hard, God, heal her. We know you can. We asked God to heal her. And if you say, you'll see, well, we had a funeral. So, well, he'll never fail. We can't sing that on Kelly Quinn, right? Because he failed on that one. He didn't come through on that one. We don't have to understand it. We still trust you, God, but You failed there, right? Come on. He's got us. He's a good God. If you think he failed because she died, I think Kelly Quinn's jumping up and down in heaven right now. Like, God, let me go. Let me go. How amazing would that be if she supernaturally showed up and gave a testimony and then zoomed back up? What would her testimony be? Her testimony would be, God didn't fail. Y'all can't believe the inheritance that you talked about, the deposit. Like, it's going to blow your mind. God came through. I'm so thankful to be where I am, not where you are. You'll see. She would say, you'll see. So somebody needs to hear that today. You're in a you'll see week or a you'll see moment. We just keep trusting. And we need each other because everybody's at different spots in the journey. We need each other. If you just had your, oh, I see what God was doing. Other people need to be encouraged by what God's doing in your life. We are connected. It's not an individual sport. This thing that we're doing, church, it's a team sport. We need each other. God is good. And our worship matters, and not just in singing. This up here is worship, right? These book bags are going out. You're like, oh, that's just book bags. That's nice. We can help the school. Stop your nonsense, right? It's the same Jesus that said, let's feed these people. And the disciples like, we can't feed these people. All we got, what we got? We got five pieces of bread and two fish. Jesus like, watch this, right? I can feed thousands of people with that. A few book bags going to Bryan Road Elementary. The gospel's going to Bryan Road Elementary. Some people are going to ask a question on staff and some young kids in need. They're going to ask, why? Who? What is happening? And we'll get a chance. And we've been called by that same school when they've had other issues. Hey, we've got this kid that has a need. Can you guys help? Yes. Why did they call us? Because we worship God and that we're the body of Christ. Does Jesus care about anybody more than other people? Is he preferential? Yes. If you can make a case that Jesus cares about one group more than others, it's kids. The disciples were like, y'all get away, kids, this is Jesus, leave him alone. And Jesus was like, stop, let the kids. He loves kids, right? And I think he especially loves kids in need. So this is an act of worship that we're going to do, and we're going to pray over these. And as a church who loves kids, as kids grow up, become students, become adults, I want Raph to come up and share a little bit, some big stuff coming. If you know a teenager, are a teenager, or have ever met a teenager, I want you to hear what he has to say. But let me pray for this, as these get delivered this week, let me give you the stats. Over 70 backpacks, six giant boxes of supplies, and two giant boxes of snacks are given because of your generosity. Thank you, and let's ask God to do what only he can do as these get delivered to people that need them this week. Father, we thank you for the generosity of our church. God, we're only just beginning as what you call us to do. God, what a blessing that we get to be your body, that we get to be the body of Jesus, that we get to be the extension, the hands, the feet, the mouth, the love. Thank you that we get to love on these kids this week. I pray it wouldn't just be some supplies, that they would feel love, that that staff would feel that there's a local body of Christ that cares about the ministry and the incredibly hard, difficult work that they're doing day in and day out. So we just pray you would go with these book bags, that you would minister through them in beautiful ways. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Raph, it is all yours.
Amen. Yes, Relentless Church, I'm excited to announce a couple things. Student ministry is ramping back up. It means RC students are going to be in full effect here in a couple of weeks. So in that vein, just a couple things I wanted to put on your radar. First of all, if you are, if you didn't know, right, we do have a student ministry here. Student ministry goes from grade 6 through grade 12 here at Relentless Church. And so I want to invite you to a couple of things. The first one is we're going to start student huddles. They're going to kind of follow the same format our men's and women's huddles follow, but we're going to meet on the last Sunday of every month. So the first one will be next Sunday. We're going to be right here, actually in the new conference room right behind where the kids check-in is. We're going to meet there at 9 a.m. We're going to do a Bible study. Actually, this entire year, what we're going to do is take the year to go through the Sermon on the Mount. So really excited about that. We're going to follow the Bible project in that. But the plan is for student huddles is, again, the last Sunday of every month, come during first service. Everyone's invited. That means every middle schooler, 6th grade through 12th high schooler is invited. We're going to study the Bible together. We're going to eat some food. We're going to fellowship. We're going to pray. And then that's all going to be during first service. Second service, we're going to attend a worship service together and kind of have our own student section here in the room. So really, we just want to up the profile and the awareness of student ministry here at Relentless Church. We're excited about that. That, again, first one's next Sunday, the 25th. And then also, Wednesday nights, we'll kick off again on September 4th. Okay, Wednesday, September 4th at 6:30. And this is going to be a little bit different than we have done in the past. This first night, it's kind of like an open house. We are inviting parents, welcome to come with their students. We want to cast vision for what student ministry is going to look like this year, what you can expect, what we're going to be teaching. We want to introduce you to the small group leaders from middle school and high school, give you the opportunity to ask questions. We'll play some games. We'll have some snacks and refreshments. And so, again, just want to invite you to that. We'll be going out in emails as well. That's Wednesday, September 4th. RC students coming back in full effect. And next Sunday, student huddles kick off 9 a.m. So bring your Bibles. We hope to see you there. Thank you.
All right, I'll dismiss you from here. I just want to invite you to next week because it's a two-parter. It's a series. What are we doing? We're talking about the church. And so much we didn't get to today. So next week, we'll talk about church hurt. Won't that be fun? There's never a reason to come back. We're going to answer the million-dollar question that we've never answered in our history. Are we a woke church? All right, aren't you excited about next week? I know I am. So you guys are dismissed.